Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Gaura Premanandi. Om Jnanakam Nirandasya Jnanakam Savakaya Chakshuramilitam Jena Tashmai Shri Gaurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapatantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishware Rishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gora Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So we're reading a very important verse from the Bhagavad Gita. It's the first verse in the ninth chapter. Ninth chapter is entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge. Sri Bhagavan, I guess you could repeat. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Idam tu te guyatamam. Prabhaksyami anusuyave Jnanam vijnana sahitam Yasgyatva mokshase shubhat. Okay, can I just read the word for word now? Okay, because it's a very long purport. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. You can repeat though. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Idam, this, to, but, te, unto you, guyatamam, the most confidential, pravaksyami, I am speaking, anusuyave, to the non-envious, jnanam, knowledge, vijnana, realized knowledge, Sahitam, with, yat, which, yatva, knowing, mokshase, you will be released, ashubat, from this miserable material existence. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence. Purport. As a devotee hears more and more about the Supreme Lord, he becomes enlightened. This hearing process is recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there's Srimadam Svakata. Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyanta Stohiya Bhadranani Vidunosti Saritsatam. Sri Krishna, the Personality of God, is the Paramatman, everyone taught, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desires for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages. So if we want to hear about Krishna, if we get the urge to hear about Krishna, if we enjoy hearing about Krishna, this cleanses our heart of material desires. And it says this right here, this hearing process is recommended in the scriptures. The message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are full of potencies. And these potencies can be realized if topics regarding the Supreme Godhead are discussed amongst devotees. This cannot be achieved by the association of mental speculators or academic scholars, for it is realized knowledge. So to hear personalities like, scholars talking about Krishna, that doesn't help one become free from these material desires. It has to be amongst devotees. So what makes a devotee? Anybody have any idea what's a devotee? Yes?
Someone who has faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God.
Yeah, that would be a devotee, yeah. They have faith in Krishna, they have faith in God. They're devoted to God. Yes?
Love. Huh? Love. Some love, and
love. Love for God. You feel some love for God. You feel some love. So see, lots of times in the material world, if we have genuine love, love is for God, because there's different kinds of love. But in Latin, they think they have different names for love for a person, love for an animal, love for your car, and love for God. What?
The Christian word for love for God is
agape.
Agape.
Agape. Okay. Anyway, that's the love we're talking about here. It's the love for God. Because that's pure love. Most other love is conditional. You know, I love you if you love me. You know, even people, you love somebody who doesn't even care for you. Everybody says, you're just a jerk. You know, you're just an idiot. Why do you bother loving this guy? He doesn't care one bit for you. So that's, you know, so that love is generally conditional. I don't love him anymore if this is the way he's going to treat me. Or I don't love her anymore if this is the way she's going to be. So that's conditional love. That's the material world. Material world, it's conditional. I'll love you if you do this for me. And then I'll do this for you. It's almost like a business. You know? But real love is unconditional. I will love you no matter how you treat me. You know that. And the closest thing to real love in the material world is the love a mother has for the child. That's the closest thing to real love because it's practically unconditional. I love you, no matter how bad you are, I still love you. The father, his is more conditional. You want to be that way? But the mother is more real love. So the devotees are constantly engaged in the Supreme Lord's service. The Lord understands the mentality and sincerity of a particular living entity who is engaged in Krishna consciousness and gives him the intelligence to understand the science of Krishna in the association of devotees. So, Krishna knows our heart better than we know our heart. He knows what's best for us, and he provides this. But it also says, in the association of devotees. You're in the association of non-devotees, you're not going to get that same feedback, you will, from the devotees. The discussions. You don't have the same discussions with non-devotees. It says that the devotees discuss Krishna, topics about Krishna. They converse with each other. They converse about me. They get purified by conversing about me. When they get together, that's what they do. We're talking today, like lots of times, first of all, materialists get together and we talk about ourselves, what I did, or maybe my extended family, my son, he's really smart, he's great, you know, or my daughter just married this guy, he's fantastic, millionaire, hey, you know, what can I say? So these talks, we generally talk about ourselves. Now, as devotees, we still talk about ourselves, we're not pure devotees, but pure devotees just talk about Krishna. You know, there might be, it says that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he would meet, he was a magistrate, he was like a high court judge. So he would go and he'd walk on the street and people would know him because he has such a high position in the city. And they would talk to him. And within a few minutes, the conversation, whatever it started at, would come to Krishna. So this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He would bring the conversation to Krishna. So this is devotee. So we have to try to be more devotee-like. Even if we start some mundane conversation about whatever, we should try to bring it to Krishna. You know, Krishna says, you know, that when your mind wanders, you bring it back. And your mind is going to wander. When you're chanting japa, your mind wanders. You bring it back to try to hear. So similarly, when we're talking, when we realize, well, I'm talking only about me. How are you? No, when you bring it back to Krishna somehow or other, you know, as smoothly as we can to bring the conversation back to Krishna. And that's purifying. So discussions of Krishna is very potent. And if a fortunate person has such association and tries to assimilate the knowledge, then he will surely make advancement towards spiritual realization. Lord Krishna, in order to encourage Arjuna to higher and higher elevation in his potent service, describes in this ninth chapter matters more confidential than any he has already disclosed. So this is called the most confidential. You know, there's confidential, more confidential, most confidential. That's this chapter. It's like in the military. There's confidential, then there's secret, and then there's top secret. So this is the top secret stuff right here. The very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, the first chapter, is more or less an introduction to the rest of the book. And in the second and third chapters, the spiritual knowledge described is called confidential. Topics discussed in the seventh and eighth chapters are specifically related to devotional service, and because they bring enlightenment in Krishna consciousness, they are called more confidential. But the matters which are described in the ninth chapter with unalloyed pure devotion, deal with unalloyed pure devotion. Therefore, this is called the most confidential. One who is situated in the most confidential knowledge of Krishna is naturally transcendental. He therefore has no material pangs, although he is in the material world. So he's in the material world, but he's not suffering. And even if he's suffering according to the material calculation, he's not identifying with that suffering. He's identifying, he's a spirit soul. I'm not this body. Example, you're working, anybody who's ever worked much, you know, with their hands, they get cut. Sometimes you get cut. You do something, you get cut. And lots of times, you don't even know you're cut until you see the blood. So you don't even feel it. You didn't feel it. You felt maybe something, but it didn't affect you. So similarly, you become kind of callous to the pains and pleasures of the body. It's not that you don't feel anything, but you can tolerate it. When if you saw Srila Prabhupada in his passing, he said, I'm a stack of bones. And that's what he was. And according to the doctors, it's like such a painful condition. Never complained, never took any medication for pain relief. Just tolerated it. One who is situated in the most confidential knowledge of Krishna is naturally transcendental. He therefore has no material pangs, although he is in the material world. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that although one who has a sincere desire to render loving service to the Supreme Lord is situated in the confidential state. I guess we should have left more light. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that although one who has a sincere desire to render loving service to the Supreme Lord is situated in the conditional state of material existence, he is to be considered liberated. So one who's engaged in devotional service is considered liberated. Just like if you're in the shower, you're considered clean. You may not be clean because you still didn't finish showering, but you're considered clean. So if you're engaged in devotional service, you're under that shower of Krishna, Krishna's mercy, you're considered liberated. So similarly, we shall find in the Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter that anyone who is engaged in that way is a liberated person. Now this first verse has specific significance. The words idam jnanam, this knowledge, refers to pure devotional service, which consists of 9 different activities: hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshiping, praying, obeying, maintaining friendship, and surrendering everything. So there's nine processes of devotional service. And this, when it says this knowledge, they're talking about devotional service. This is knowledge. Hearing about Krishna, knowledge, chanting about Krishna, rendering, you know, serving Krishna. This is knowledge. Because actually in the next verse, it says it's the most secret, purest knowledge, and it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is perfection of religion, and is everlasting and joyfully performed. Joyfully performed means this knowledge is something you actually perform, you engage in this knowledge. It's not just some theoretical thing we talk and we feel good about ourselves. Okay, so by the practice of these nine elements of devotional service, one is elevated to spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. When one's heart is thus cleared of material contamination, one can understand the science of Krishna. So we have to cleanse the heart. Our heart is very dirty. We may not think it's dirty. And just like you may have an attic that you keep throwing stuff up the attic or in the basement, and then you decide to clean it out, and you can't believe how filthy it is. How much junk you got in there. What the heck was I saving this for? You just finally start cleaning it out. So similarly, our hearts, if we're not touching it, we may not know how dirty it is. Once we make an attempt at cleaning it out, you can actually see all the dirt and gook that's there. And we got to try to clean it out. The way to clean it out is hearing and chanting about Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna. This is for this age. Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Stevana, Stevana, Stevagatiranyata. That in this age of Kali, the only way of deliverance, the only way is by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Why we chant the holy names of the Lord? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Krishna is not different from his name. Krishna is God. God is not different from his name. God is absolute. He's not different from anything in relationship with him. He's not different from his paraphernalia. He's not different from his abode. He's not different from anything because he's absolute. The material world is not, it's the world of duality. The difference between the name and the object. You say water, 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 you're still thirsty. It doesn't help you any because there's a difference. A rose by any other name would smell just as sweet. You can call a rose stool, still smells nice. But it's because there's a difference between the rose and the name. But Krishna is present in his name. So when you're chanting Krishna, Krishna, he's there and you're associating. And because he's supremely pure, by that association, you get purified. So this is what's recommended in this age. It's very easy, doesn't cost anything, you can do it anywhere. Just chant the holy names of the Lord, especially this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You just chant that over and over, and you don't get tired. It's not like if you chant something else. Prabhupada gave the example, Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola. You get tired of it. I had enough of this. I need to do something else. So, but Hare Krishna, you can chant for hours, for days, for years, and you don't get tired. As a matter of fact, the more you chant, the more you get a taste for it. Because as you get cleansed, you can realize more that Krishna is not different from his name. And you actually get a taste and you actually enjoy that association. So we have to associate with Krishna. So when one's heart is thus cleansed, this is the process of cleansing the heart. Every time you chant, you're cleaning your heart. Just cleared of material contamination, one can understand the science of Krishna. Simply to understand that a living entity is not material is not sufficient. Okay, I'm not this body. That's not enough. That's good. I'm not this body. Okay, but who am I? Just saying what you're not doesn't answer the question of who you are or what you're supposed to do. I mean, it's a start. I've always thought I was this body. Now I'm getting this understanding how I'm not this body. I had a little baby's body. I had a little boy's body. I had a man's body. I have an old man's body. I have a really old man's body. And then I'm leaving. And then eventually I'm going to leave this body. I'm different. I don't have that baby's body or that kid's body anymore. I can't even, I don't have any pictures handy, but there's pictures. I don't even look like that kid. You know, it's like totally different body. But I'm still the same person. You know, the person, I'm different from my body. My body has changed in every way. Scientists say every 7 years, every cell in your body changes. So 7 years ago, I had an entirely different body. Now I have this body. 7 years ago, it was a little better. You make, Prabhupada says, make the best use of a bad bargain. So we got these bodies. So I'm not the body, but that doesn't say who I am. So this realization, simply to understand that a living entity is not material, is not sufficient. That may be the beginning of spiritual realization, but one should recognize the difference between activities of the body and the spiritual activities of one who understands that he's not the body. So I'm not the body, and I actually have to understand not only I'm not the body, who I am. Okay, the activities of one, recognize the difference between the activities of the body. So somebody who's just acting in the body, Prabhupada says it's like a dead body flapping. Somebody who's just in the material body, not and thinking they're their body. But the other activities are actually transcendental. I'm not this body. What am I? What I'm a spirit soul. What am I supposed to do with this body? I'm supposed to use it in the service of Krishna, in the service of God. That's the purpose of this body. There's no other purpose of this body. To enjoy. You can enjoy for a little while. You enjoy your senses. But even if you engage your body in the service of God, you're enjoying. You're enjoying a higher taste. Param dushvarnivartate. By experiencing a higher taste, you can give up the lower taste. You can't give up the lower taste unless you get something better. You know, just Nancy Reagan, she just passed away. Her thing was say no. Say no. Say no. Ain't enough. You got to have something better. You know, you got to replace, you know, say no to drugs, she was saying. So, you know, that's we completely agree if you can do that. But you got to have something better. You have to have a higher taste. When you have a higher taste, you can give up the lower taste.
Can Prabhupada say just say no, K-N-O-W?
I never heard that. Never heard that? Maybe. But I'd never heard it. Okay, so they may be the beginning of spiritual realization. One should recognize the difference between activities of the body and the spiritual activities of one who understands that he's not the body. But actually, the spiritual activities, they sometimes may seem very much the same. I go to the supermarket and I go shopping. So somebody else who thinks he's his body goes to the supermarket and goes shopping. So the activities may seem similar, but what is the results? One person is going home and cooking and eating. The other person is going home and cooking and offering it to Krishna, and then eating the prasadam after it's offered to Krishna. So there's a complete difference. One result is completely spiritual, a karma, no material reactions. The other is there's material reactions from the beginning to the end. You know, we don't want any more material reactions because that's karma, and then you got to get a result. You got to take another material body in order to get your karma. We don't want another material body. So the way to become free, yogyatat kamano nyatra lokayam karma bandana taratam kamakantaya mukta sangha samachara. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. So if we don't want to become bound to this material world, we have to work for Krishna. So the activities may seem similar, but there's a world of difference when you're offering the results to Krishna. So in the seventh chapter, we have already discussed the opulent potencies of the Supreme Personality of God. It has different energies, the inferior and superior natures, and all this material manifestation. Now in chapter 9, the glories of the Lord will be delineated. Okay, we only got us one paragraph left. I'm talking fast and reading fast because there's not much time. The Sanskrit word anusuyave. In this verse is also very significant. Generally, the commentators, even if they are highly scholarly, are all envious of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even the most erudite scholars write in Bhagavad Gita very inaccurately. Because they are envious of Krishna, their commentaries are useless. So anyone who's envious of Krishna and you're hearing from them, it's a useless waste of time. So scholars, they may be able to quote so many more Sanskrit verses, but they don't understand who Krishna is. They may theoretically think, well, this is what people accept, but they don't accept it. So they don't get the same results. The commentaries given by devotees of the Lord are bona fide. No one can explain Bhagavad Gita or give perfect knowledge of Krishna if he is envious. One who criticizes the character of Krishna without knowing him is a fool. So such commentary should be very carefully avoided. For one who understands that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pure and transcendental personality, these chapters will be very beneficial. I'll read the verse one more time and see if anybody has a question. The Supreme Personality of God had said, my dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved from the miseries of material existence. We can get into the miseries of material existence, but does anyone have any questions? No questions. Yes.
So this association with Krishna through his name purifies us, purifies our heart. Purifies our heart of what?
Of all the dust and dirt that have accumulated from time immemorial.
And what is dust and dirt? What is that? What is the characteristic of what is a symptom?
Well, I'm going to have to open up your heart for that. Thank you. Lust and greed, or we could do the other way. It's basically sinful activities. It's like black dirt. You know, it's not literally dirt, but it's a covering. You can get some realization. I've gotten some realization one time of how black my heart was, and I didn't like it. And I thought I was pure. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
I'm hoping you get your insurance. Huh? Instead of water, get your cup of insurance.